Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night, when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too, strengthen our daily tasks, to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travel, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in Thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace. A peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Now that was FDR's speech that he gave on the evening of June 6, 1944. D-Day was already underway, well underway, because it was given the evening of June 6 here in the United States of America. But that was his prayer, a lengthy prayer given by a U.S. president who happened to be a Democrat. And you just would not really hear that anymore, would you? I think you would hear it from a Republican president, and you're going to hear from Donald Trump when we come back after the break. He gave earlier today from Normandy what I think is the best speech that he's ever given. Fabulously written, powerful, powerful speech, honoring a couple of D-Day veterans also that were there. And I just wanted to do that. Today's the 75th anniversary of 160,000 troops. America, Britain, Canada, Free France, Poland landed along that 50-mile stretch. We'll hear from the president when we come back.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. A miracle on the side from up above. It's not his word enough.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. And we're just basically kind of taking the hour to spend time commemorating D-Day. 75 years ago today was the D-Day invasion, which really began the turn of the war there in Europe and the liberation of France and then the rest of Europe, of course, following along after that. Over 160,000 troops from America, Britain, Canada, Free France, Poland, and other nations landed along that 50-mile stretch of the Normandy coast of France. It was the largest seaborne invasion force in world history, supported by 13,000 aircraft, 5,000 ships, with 195,700 Navy personnel. And an incredible, incredible feat, but an incredible, incredible sacrifice of blood and life and limbs. And the casualty count, the death counts of 10,000 plus, and then the injured. It was a bloody mess and nightmare, but it was the price that needed to be paid. And remember, this was a young man's war. I don't know whether we would have the grit to do something like this anymore. I know that our current soldiers would, because it's an all-volunteer Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, and they're there because they want to be there. And I would completely trust them. Whether we would have the wherewithal as a nation with our young people today to go to war and make this type of sacrifice, I do not know. But we started the show today with the incredibly moving prayer that FDR offered up on the evening of June 6, 1944. And earlier today, I started seeing some press about President Donald Trump's speech, which he gave there from Normandy in France. And people like Joe Scarborough and Jim Acosta were praising the president's speech today. And I thought, wow, this must have been pretty incredible. And lo and behold, I listened to it, and it was. He does a fantastic job and talking about some of the history, and it's an overarching meta-narrative that runs through it about freedom and liberty and justice and sacrifice, but also has an opportunity to honor a couple of veterans that are still alive from World War II, specifically from the Normandy and the D-Day experience. So just fabulous. So just like I played FDR's speech, I'm going to play the president's speech in its entirety. I cut a couple little things here and there, some applause where it went over a minute and a half, and deservedly so for some of these veterans. But really, really, the best speech of his career by far, I think, and just powerful. And I'm playing it not because it's Donald Trump, but because it's true, and it honors all of the men and women that sacrificed. Some of them sacrificed everything in order to liberate Europe. It's starting with France. It's the type of sacrifice that we all should be considerate of and worthy of making ourselves. Of course, that's the one true measure of love, is it not, according to the scriptures, that one would lay down his life, her life, your life, my life, for a friend. So this is President Donald Trump's speech in its entirety. He'll take us through the rest of the show. Earlier today in Normandy, France, commemorating, celebrating, and honoring the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
We are gathered here on freedom's altar, on these shores, on these bluffs, on this day, 75 years ago. 10,000 men shed their blood and thousands sacrificed their lives for their brothers, for their countries, and for the survival of liberty. Today we remember those who fell, and we honor all who fought right here in Normandy. They won back this ground for civilization to more than 170 veterans of the Second World War who join us today. You are among the very greatest Americans who will ever live. You are the pride of our nation. You are the glory of our republic, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Here with you are over 60 veterans who landed on D-Day. Our debt to you is everlasting. Today we express our undying gratitude. When you were young, these men enlisted their lives in a great crusade, one of the greatest of all times. Their mission is the story of an epic battle and the ferocious, eternal struggle between good and evil. On the 6th of June, 1944, they joined a liberation force of awesome power and breathtaking scale. After months of planning, the Allies had chosen this ancient coastline to mount their campaign to vanquish the wicked tyranny of the Nazi Empire from the face of the earth. The battle began in the skies above us. In those first tense midnight hours, 1,000 aircraft roared overhead with 17,000 Allied airborne troops preparing to leap into the darkness beyond these trees. Then came dawn. The enemy who had occupied these heights saw the largest naval armada in the history of the world. Just a few miles offshore were 7,000 vessels bearing 130,000 warriors. They were the citizens of free and independent nations, united by their duty to their compatriots and to millions yet unborn. There were the British, whose nobility and fortitude saw them through the worst of Dunkirk and the London Blitz. The full violence of Nazi fury was no match for the full grandeur of British pride. Thank you. There were the Canadians whose robust sense of honor and loyalty compelled them to take up arms alongside Britain from the very, very beginning. There were the fighting Poles, the tough Norwegians, and the intrepid Aussies. There were the gallant French commandos, soon to be met by thousands of their brave countrymen ready to write a new chapter in the long history of French valor. And finally, there were the Americans. They came from the farms of a vast heartland, the streets of glowing cities, and the forges of mighty industrial towns. Before the war, many had never ventured beyond their own community. Now they had come to offer their lives half a world from home. This beach, codenamed Omaha, was defended by the Nazis with monstrous firepower, thousands and thousands of mines and spikes driven into the sand so deeply.
We're listening to President Donald Trump's speech, I think his best speech ever, from Normandy today on the 75th anniversary of D-Day, an appropriate way to spend our hour together. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, 75th anniversary today of D-Day, June 6, 1944. And I played at the beginning of the show. I hope you'll go back and listen to it. You can catch it on Facebook Live. Just go to our Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show. You can grab it there or on the podcast probably tomorrow. My intern, Evan, my production assistant's off this week, so it might take an extra day to get the podcast up there. But I want you to listen to that incredibly powerful prayer that was done by FDR the evening of June 6, 1944 here in America. And then earlier today, Donald Trump gave what I think resoundedly, easily, the best speech of his life. Certainly the best speech of his presidency, honoring and discussing the incredible narratives involved with what happened there on that 50-mile stretch of beach in Normandy to start the liberation of France and the rest of Europe. He was just talking about the beach itself in this speech. We're going to hear the whole thing before we finish the show today together. And discussing the incredible defensives of Nazi Germany, of what our soldiers and soldiers from other countries were facing. So we're going to pick it up right there. This was live earlier today in Normandy, France. Donald Trump, President Trump, speaking about D-Day, the 75th anniversary.
It was here that tens of thousands of the Americans came. The GIs who boarded the landing craft that morning knew that they carried on their shoulders not just the pack of a soldier, but the fate of the world. Colonel George Taylor, whose 16th Infantry Regiment would join in the first wave, was asked what would happen if the Germans stopped right then and there, cold on the beach, just stopped them. What would happen? This great American replied, "Why, the 18th Infantry is coming in right behind us. The 26th Infantry will come on too. Then there is the 2nd Infantry Division, already afloat. And the 9th Division, and the 2nd Armored, and the 3rd Armored, and all the rest. Maybe the 16th won't make it, but someone will." One of those men in Taylor's 16th Regiment was Army Medic Ray Lambert. Ray was only 23, but he had already earned 3 Purple Hearts and 2 Silver Stars fighting in North Africa and Sicily. where he and his brother Bill, no longer with us, served side by side. In the early morning hours, the two brothers stood together on the deck of the USS Henrico before boarding two separate Higgins landing craft. "If I don't make it," Bill said, "please, please, take care of my family." Ray asked his brother to do the same. Of the 31 men on Ray's landing craft, only Ray and six others made it to the beach. There were only a few of them left. They came to the sector right here below us. Easy Red, it was called. Again and again, Ray ran back into the water. He dragged out one man after another. He was shot through the arm. His leg was ripped open by shrapnel. His back was broken. He nearly drowned. He had been on the beach for hours, bleeding and saving lives, when he finally lost consciousness. He woke up the next day on a cot beside another badly wounded soldier. He looked over and saw his brother Bill. They made it. They made it. They made it. At 98 years old, Ray is here with us today with his fourth Purple Heart and his third Silver Star from Omaha. Ray, the free world salutes you. Nearly 2 hours in, unrelenting fire from these bluffs kept the Americans pinned down on the sand, now red with our hero's blood. Then, just a few hundred yards from where I'm standing, a breakthrough came. The battle turned, and with it, history. Down on the beach, Captain Joe Dawson, the son of a Texas preacher, led Company G through a minefield to a natural fold in the hillside, still here. Just beyond this path, to my right, Captain Dawson snuck beneath an enemy machine gun perch and tossed his grenades. Soon, American troops were charging up Dawson's draw. What a job he did. What bravery he showed. Lieutenant Spaulding and the men from Company E moved on to crush the enemy's strong point on the far side of this cemetery and stop the slaughter on the beach below. Countless more Americans poured out across this ground all over the countryside. They joined fellow American warriors from Utah Beach and allies from Juneau, Sword and Gold, along with the Airborne and the French Patriots. Private First Class Russell Pickett of the 29th Division's famed 116th Infantry Regiment had been wounded in the first wave that landed on Omaha Beach. At a hospital in England, Private Pickett vowed to return to battle. "I'm going to return," he said. "I'm going to return." 6 days after D-Day, he rejoined his company. Two-thirds had been killed already. Many had been wounded within 15 minutes of the invasion. They lost 19 just from the small town of Bedford, Virginia alone. Before long, a grenade left Private Pickett, and he was gravely wounded, so badly wounded. Again, he chose to return. He didn't care. He had to be here. He was then wounded a third time and laid unconscious for 12 days. They thought he was gone. They thought he had no chance. Russell Pickett is the last known survivor of the legendary Company A. And today, believe it or not, he has returned once more to these shores to be with his comrades. Private Pickett, you honor us all with your presence. Tough guy. By the fourth week of August, Paris was liberated. Some who landed here pushed all the way to the center of Germany. Some threw open the gates of Nazi concentration camps to liberate Jews who had suffered the bottomless horrors of the Holocaust. And some warriors fell on other fields of battle, returning to rest on this soil for eternity. Before this place was consecrated to history, the land was owned by a French farmer, a member of the French resistance. These were great people. These were strong and tough people. His terrified wife waited out D-Day in a nearby house, holding tight to their little baby girl. The next day, a soldier appeared. "I'm an American," he said. "I'm here to help." The French woman was overcome with emotion and cried. Days later, she laid flowers on fresh American graves. Today, her granddaughter, Stephanie, serves as a guide at this cemetery. This week, Stephanie led 92-year-old Marion Nguyen of California to see the grave of her brother Don for the very first time. Marion and Stephanie are both with us today, and we thank you for keeping alive the memories of our precious heroes. Thank you.
Again, just an incredible speech by President Donald Trump earlier today in Normandy, France, the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, which turned the tide, freed France and then turned the tide of the war in Europe. It's the Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll finish it up with President. Steve Noble Show, honoring, remembering, and spending our hour looking back. This is the 75th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy, France, D-Day as we know it. June 6, 1944, at the beginning of the show. I hope you'll go back and listen to that. Facebook Live, you can do it there at the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, or you can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and you can grab the podcast later. And played the about six-minute prayer, really, really moving, powerful, tearjerker, especially as we have the ability to look back on everything that happened and then on the price that was paid that day by FDR, prayer for our troops, the night of June 6, 1944, that D-Day was in progress. And then today, President Trump, also from Normandy, just the best speech of his career as a politician and as the president, just fabulous. So I've been playing that whole thing and picking up, he's honoring different people. And I had a couple of veterans there from World War II, specifically from D-Day, just amazing. And he just goes on. I just want to make sure we hear the rest of the speech. He just absolutely knocked it out of the park. And we'll pick it up right there.
9,388 young Americans rest beneath the white crosses and stars of David, arrayed on these beautiful grounds. Each one has been adopted by a French family that thinks of him as their own. They come from all over France to look after our boys. They kneel, they cry, they pray. They place flowers, and they never forget. Today, America embraces the French people and thanks you for honoring our beloved dead. Thank you.
It's awesome. Did you know that? Every American soldier adopted by a French family. It's awesome. This is President Trump from earlier today.
To all of our friends and partners, our cherished alliance was forged in the heat of battle, tested in the trials of war, and proven in the blessings of peace. Our bond is unbreakable. From across the earth, Americans are drawn to this place as though it were a part of our very soul. We come not only because of what they did here. We come because of who they were. They were young men with their entire lives before them. They were husbands who said goodbye to their young brides and took their duty as their fate. They were fathers who would never meet their infant sons and daughters because they had a job to do. And with God as their witness, they were going to get it done. They came wave after wave, without question, without hesitation, and without complaint. More powerful than the strength of American arms was the strength of American hearts. These men ran through the fires of hell, moved by a force no weapon could destroy. The fierce patriotism of a free, proud, and sovereign people. They battled not for control and domination, but for liberty, democracy, and self-rule. They pressed on for love and home and country, the main streets, the schoolyards, the churches, and neighbors, the families and communities that gave us men such as these. They were sustained by the confidence that America can do anything. Because we are a noble nation with a virtuous people praying to a righteous God. The exceptional might came from a truly exceptional spirit. The abundance of courage came from an abundance of faith. The great deeds of an army came from the great depths of their love. As they confronted their fate, the Americans and the Allies placed themselves into the palm of God's hand. The men behind me will tell you that they are just the lucky ones. As one of them recently put it, all the heroes are buried here. But we know what these men did. We knew how brave they were. They came here and saved freedom. And then they went home and showed us all what freedom is all about. The American sons and daughters who saw us to victory were no less extraordinary in peace. They built families, they built industries, they built a national culture that inspired the entire world. In the decades that followed, America defeated communism, secured civil rights, revolutionized science, launched a man to the moon, and then kept on pushing to new frontiers. And today, America is stronger than ever before. Seven decades ago, the warriors of D-Day fought a sinister enemy who spoke of a thousand-year empire. In defeating that evil, they left a legacy that will last not only for a thousand years, but for all time. For as long as the soul knows of duty and honor, for as long as freedom keeps its hold on the human heart, to the men who sit behind me and to the boys who rest in the field before me, your example will never, ever grow old. Your legend will never die. Your spirit, brave, unyielding, and true, will never die. The blood that they spilled, the tears that they shed, the lives that they gave, the sacrifice that they made, did not just win a battle. It did not just win a war. Those who fought here won a future for our nation. They won the survival of our civilization. And they showed us the way to love, cherish, and defend our way of life for many centuries to come. Today, as we stand together upon this sacred earth, we pledge that our nation will forever be strong and united. We will forever be together. Our people will forever be bold. Our hearts will forever be loyal. And our children and their children will forever and always be free. May God bless our great veterans. May God bless our allies. May God bless the heroes of D-Day. And may God bless America. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And there you have it. Just like I said, I think that's by far the best speech of President Trump's career. Just powerful, incredibly well-written, well-delivered, and so apropos here on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I wrote something and put it on Facebook for all my friends here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area of North Carolina listening on the Truth Radio Network. This is my backyard. This is my hometown. And I wrote something because this Saturday with our friends at Love Life, which is a prayer walk and a worship gathering literally across the street in the face of darkness from a local abortion clinic this Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. So if you're here in the area, I wrote this for you because we kind of adopted this Saturday for the radio ministry and the call to action in general. This Saturday morning, June 8th, there will be far fewer soldiers gathered, but their cause will be just as just as the D-Day invasion. They will stand, walk, pray, and sing in the battle for life, in a battle that has already seen over 60 million casualties, far more than the death toll of World War II. Yes, it will most likely be raining, but there won't be Nazi soldiers firing down from the cliffs above. The Love Life soldiers won't be armed with guns, but will be loaded with the love of Christ and the truth of his word. The war for our own freedom from Nazi tyranny ended 75 years ago, but the battle for the life of the unborn here in America still rages today. I'm not asking you to lay down your life. I'm asking you, imploring you, challenging you to sacrifice a few hours of your time to walk and stand in the rain, most likely with an umbrella, alongside me and other pro-life Christians as we once again storm the darkness and death via a spiritual battle at a local abortion clinic. I'll be there to stand in another great battle for the life at 9 a.m. Will you please join me? How apropos on the heels of the 75th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of France, the liberation of millions and millions of people. Can we not do something for the cause of life? This Saturday, 9 a.m., go to my Facebook page for information or lovelife.org. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.